Well, you could thank, or not, Father Schlegel for this version of a homily. I had a whole other thing prepared, and I heard him preach at 9, and I thought, whoa, there's some good stuff. It may be even briefer, but don't count on it. What he asked all of us to do this weekend is to take some of what we say as part of the focus from a letter that the Father General, the head of the Jesuits, just wrote to us, taking all the letters that people had written him and condensing it. And basically, what he proposed to Jesuits throughout the world is that the work of reconciliation and bridge building can be not only contemporary expressions of what we do in the Society of Jesus, but also a way of deepening our mission. So at the previous Mass, John talked about reconciliation and whatnot. So I'm going to lean that way myself. Because, as St. Ignatius pointed out in the spiritual exercises, love is better expressed in deeds rather than in words. It's like intentions don't match actions sometimes. So, in my community, just a few blocks away, I intended to help with shopping. But I haven't done anything about it yet. But I figure, most guys figure this too, you can let me know, most guys figure this, that if I intended it, it's the same thing. It still hasn't gotten done. Anyway, what Father Nicholas, our Father General, what Father Nicholas talked about, and this is very brief, we seek most deeply a new creation in which there will be space for forgiveness. The lack of forgiveness in our world shows the extent, and this is very interesting, shows the extent to which we keep ourselves bound to old wounds which grow ever deeper and out of all proportion. Now, having been rector of the Jesuit community at Creighton University for 6 years, I can attest to that. But not only that, having moved here about 2.5 months ago, I can attest to it in a new way. So I'm in a community with like 12 other guys, 12 other Jesuits from about the age of late 40s to 80, something or other. And don't you know, all these guys have habits that just tick me off. Do you ever notice that? That the people you live with just can get your goat? I think, I don't think we point out this enough to pre-marriage couples about how living with another generates irritations galore, much less kids. So what I would propose to my community, what I propose to myself would be that I should refrain from preaching about reconciliation until I start doing something about it, instead of just talking about it. How about that? All right, so I got two proposals for you. The first one is this: reconciliation with God is a loving action. Now, I'm going to talk mainly about reconciliation with others and with self. But how many of us need to be reconciled with God? Not only forgiven by God, but to forgive God for disappointing us. So that'll be another homily someday. Just think about that. Second proposal. Loving oneself and others is the same thing as reconciliation with them. Loving self and others is the exact same thing as reconciliation with them and self. The late John Kavanaugh, a Jesuit who taught at St. Louis University for so many years and was just a brilliant philosopher, came at it this way, that if we look at how we treat the poor, immigrants, anybody else we avoid, if we can look long enough, we'll see that it's the exact same way we treat ourselves. There's no difference. Basically, we have one way of relating to God and self and others. Here's some examples. Do we feel resentment toward those who ask for more? Might be in your family, might be your kids, might be your wife, might be your husband, might be your uncle, might be your parents. Do we feel resentment for those who ask for more? That resentment would mirror our terror of our own emptiness and unwillingness to ask. Unwillingness to make ourselves vulnerable by asking. Second, closing our ears to the suffering of others in whatever form it's made manifest, closing our ears to the suffering of others does reflect our unwillingness to entertain and to attend to our own suffering, our own wounds, which we prefer to silence. As I'm unable or unwilling to attend to and listen for the effects of my own woundedness, so I tend to silence and disregard the suffering of others. Closing our eyes to others who seem to us unworthy or who lack adequate means or skills, whether it's people who are disabled or homeless or whatever, or in another country. It reveals our own personal dread of personal unworthiness and inadequacy. And as we flee from our own unworthiness and inadequacy and bury that, it's the way we treat others. Simple. So one of the questions, loving neighbor and self cries out for some kind of reconciliation in both areas at the same time. So it seems to me, here's a couple questions. Am I willing to welcome my own emptiness, loneliness, my own wounds, my own sense of unworthiness, my own fears, or even sense of inadequacy without burying them. Well, if I'm willing to welcome those, then a good next step is to reach out to those in need. Reach out and befriend the alien, the immigrant, and the people we fear because of their profound poverty. Without doing that, we simply avoid the depths of our own life. It's simple. Am I willing to welcome others in their own poverty? Then I'm challenged to accept my own vulnerability and my own poverty. They go hand in hand. We can't just do the psychological stuff of trying to deal with all the stuff that we bury and whatever without seeing how it affects us as we walk down the streets of life and vice versa. So two last things. I'm going to invite us all, including me, to practice this week. And for me, it'll have to do with my community members. So I invite you, this is not a penance, I invite you to go out of your way to reach out to someone in your family to affirm and encourage and or forgive that person. Go out of your way. Step out. Do it. Do something positive. That's family. The next circle outward. Let's go out of our way to reach out to someone who's homeless or whom we would otherwise avoid, to affirm, encourage, and forgive that person for reminding us of our own poverty. Here's a way that can help. Prayer of St. Francis. There's two ways to pray this thing. So here's the first way. It's about the relationship to the other. Loving our neighbor. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is discord, harmony. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is error, truth. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Second way to pray this prayer, let Jesus pray it for you. Let me be an instrument of your peace, says Jesus. Where there is hatred in our lives, let me sow love. Where there is strife and discord, harmony. Where there's injury in our lives, Jesus says, let me sow pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope, where there is darkness, light, where there is sadness, joy. I think this is how we're called as disciples to be integral human beings, one and not divided, but integral and integrated. And to love God, to love neighbor, to love ourselves. It's a great thing to pray for these days, for ourselves and one another.